perfect morning to start thinking about gardening. And by the time we hit the end of the week and the temperatures come back up into the 60s and 70s and the sun comes back out, man, everything is just going to go wild with this great rain. Carol Andrews on the line with us this morning. Carol Andrews, our host for Wild Gardening with Carol Andrews. And Carol plans to spend more time this summer grazing in her yard.
That's right.
I find that deeply disturbing, probably because of the mental picture that I'm getting, but that's all right.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to get a goat to take care of the small bit of lawn, but that is right. My goal for the year, I was just mentioning, is to be more adventurous about eating my yard this year, which I'll talk about in a minute, but I want to come around to that in a circuitous fashion, as is the nature of these little interviews.
Yes, indeed.
So, a thing to mark on your calendar, the Duluth Garden Flower Society plant sale, where many, many of the area's garden clubs put out tables down at the Rose Garden parking lot and sell their goods, including the Wild Ones group. We are always there with bunches of native plants for sale and information. Yeah, so May 30th this year. It's usually the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, but since we got five Saturdays in May, it's going to be May 30th this year.
Are you going to have milkweed?
We will have milkweed. We will. Dan Schutte's been growing it by the truckload.
All right, good. Just checking.
And I've seen it. It's 3-4 inches high already. So swamp milkweed for sure. I think you might have some common milkweed as well. We've got common and swamp milkweed seeds that somebody donated to us for distribution. So, yep, we're on that. And one of the things that I'll have there is some plants that I got from Paul Helena out at Lean Pine. And that's the other thing I want to mention, though. Like you were saying, the trees are going to leaf out like crazy later in the week. And this is a good time to get out for a walk in the woods and see the spring flowers, which I did when I went to see Paul at Leaning Pine Native Plants, one of the two local sellers of native plants along with boreal natives. Paul's over right by Amnicon State Park. Have you ever been there?
To Amnicon?
Yeah.
I think I might have.
Maybe
I'm thinking of something else, but yeah, it really is close, isn't it?
It is. You get through that long drive across Highway 2 and through 30 miles per hour in Superior, but, you know, get off on Highway 13, go a few miles, and there you are. Go through the covered bridge and get on the trails, and I saw hepatica in bloom and marsh marigold and wild oats. All sorts of cool things. And I did not eat those, just to be clear. I was not grazing in the state park. I believe that would be called illegal.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking so, yeah.
Right. But when I was at Leaning Pine talking to Paul, who, in addition to growing native plants, is a professor at the university over in Superior, and always up to some interesting research project. So it's fun to say to him, hey, what are you up to? And one of the things he handed me is this cool little booklet called Preserving the Power of Plants. And he said what he was working on, because people were realizing that when we talk about native plants, the plants that grew here before white settlers came, brought dandelions and all that, of course, the indigenous people had a very close relationship with those plants. They weren't something exotic or just landscaping plants. That's what grew here. That's what they ate. That's what they survived on. And that was their medicine. And this booklet talks about how the Ojibwe people were very well known for having medicine made from our native plants, and how the realization, though, that we're losing some of that indigenous knowledge. And so they're trying to capture that information through intentional, you know, meetings and talking to elders in the tribes and so on. And so there's not only this book, but they're also having a full-day workshop over at that Northern Lakes Visitor Center in Ashland on June 9th. So if anybody's really interested, then the name of the workshop is Preserving the Power of Plants on June 9th. It starts at 9 a.m. And that sounds like it'd be a really cool thing to see. And I'm sure you could get more information from the Great Lakes Visitor Center over there. So that got me thinking about eating native plants. And that in my yard, I looked through this booklet, and there's several things in here that I've heard before are edible. And a few of them I eat, like the rose hips, I do eat those. Obviously, the strawberries, I eat those. But things like, I do have prairie onion in my yard. It seeds and it turns, you know, spreads around, and I dig it out and throw it in the compost. It's edible. And the same with the fragrant giant hyssop, makes a very healthy tea. The Monarda, that's when you dry that and make a tea with it, that's one of the flavoring ingredients of Earl Grey tea. And again, it has medicinal qualities. Sumac, taking the berries to make a lemonade-like drink. And all these things, I think I have 4 or 5 books on foraging. And like Sam Sayer, who wrote The Forager's Harvest, one of the best ones, pointed out when he spoke years ago at one of our programs at Hartley, nobody's encouraging somebody to go out and just eat anything and be stupid about it, because, yes, some plants are poisonous, but many, many aren't. And we just have this separation we've gotten between, if we don't grow it within the confines of the vegetable garden or on the raspberry bush, it must not be eaten, you know?
Exactly.
And, yeah, so just to get a little bit more, loosen up, and if we know for sure what a plant is, I know what my plants are, and, you know, if 5 different references are telling me I can eat them, I'm going to try it this year.
Go wild. Go wild.
That's right.
You know, another place that I'd recommend touching base with, the Community Garden Program, and I'm trying to remember the group that does the Vegetable of the Year, because they always crowdsource some really cool recipes to use the Vegetable of the Year. And I'm thinking that if you put it out there, you know, I've got some prairie onion,
yeah,
that you might get some crowdsourced recipes that could be pretty cool.
Right. And this is, I think, I mean, the word for this too, permaculture, there's people, you know, that's the idea of having an edible landscape. And I think what I'm doing is saying, let's have an edible landscape, but that incorporates plenty of native plants as well. I don't usually hear the permaculture folks talking quite as much about the emphasis on including native plants, so that you're not just benefiting the humans in the yard, but you're also providing food for the insects and the other critters that
right.
optimizes what they get. So,
it's a little food for the gardener. A little food for the gardener who's out
right.
there working.
So if I call you with a stomachache in a couple months, I'll let you know it was a bad idea.
All right. Well, we'll keep up to speed on that, and make sure that I'm one of your emergency contact people when you go to the ER.
No.
Oh,
I'll
you're not going to the ER, Carol.
No.
Hey, thanks a million for joining us, though. Carol Andrews this morning. Oh, that wacky Carol. She is the president of the Wild Ones Minnesota Arrowhead chapter, and she's got ideas about native plants, perfectly safe ones, too, by the way, for your yard and garden. Wild Gardening with Carol Andrews every other Monday morning right here on Northland Morning.